Oh, the Teenage Dancing and Listening Pleasure Helmets. Hey, I hear you guys did a great job on Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, yeah, well, we had a good time.
Yeah, R.C. Collins, right?
Yeah, R.C. Collins, because he's back in the saddle again, my friend.
I don't want to do that.
Well, you can't just decide you're going to do it. That's up to Phil.
Yeah, R.C. is back for it. But a lot of people miss you, bud, so...
I don't care either. Both of these guys are idiots.
What?
Yeah, I just heard that bloody pot drop out again.
I can't hear anything because it's too loud.
He heard the bloody pot drop out again.
You're putting too much pressure on, Mr. Henry. I was told that by an engineer and...
Uh-huh. Yeah?
Well,
He does it. He's making it up as he goes.
No, I swear. You're putting too much pressure on it.
I'm going to put all kinds of pressure on it. I treat equipment the way I treat people. I shouldn't say that.
No, that's it. That is absolutely accurate. You put too much pressure on people, and you put too much pressure on equipment, and both of them will malfunction.
Well, Margaret...
Malfunction.
All right, Margaret, I heard you.
I just want to make sure.
God damn, man.
Don't God... You know what? I don't like the Lord's name, Phil.
Let's watch the GD, okay? Now,
What, me?
Yeah, you.
Now, what was this with Night of the what?
We did Night of the Living Dead. That was the cinematic, the deal.
Yeah, a lot of people enjoyed that. I watched it, in fact. When I was hitting the sack last night, you guys were right on it.
Well, you know, that film is very interesting because it's in the... First of all, I was surprised we were doing it. You say that's public domain, huh?
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead is public domain. It's got a copyright that expired. So,
Well, now, that's the George Romero film.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic. I know that Frank was going to do some work with George Romero.
Well, don't start dropping names and everything.
You know what I'm going to drop?
Hey, come on, look at...
I'll drop you.
Hey.
Dropping name.
They talk all about it and everything.
Take it easy, bud. Her husband's an entertainment attorney.
Whatever.
Whatever, huh?
Wait. What is this closed program?
Oh, it's iTunes.
You know, we got to throw this computer away. We got to throw this computer away.
What are you going to throw it away for?
I don't trust it, man. This computer is constantly effing up and fuing up and GDing up. So what were we going to talk about?
You were talking about iTunes and being Night of the Living...
You were talking about iTunes copyright expiring because of the dead. No.
I was talking about Night of the Living Dead. Yeah, the copyright expired on that. Nobody renewed it. I guess they just didn't think that it was going to be worth a pinch of you-know-what.
You're kidding.
Well, that was what I was going to say. Frank did some work with this man, Romero. Now, he did a film called Day of the Dead Day.
Yeah, Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead was bitching. And it was all about the zombies and everything.
Was it about zombies? Well, I figured that much.
Romero, I guess to capitalize on... you know, the good work that he had done and not really making any money with Night of the Living Dead because nobody really knew whether it was going to be a hit or not. I guess that, like we were saying, that's why the copyright was not renewed. But he did follow up eventually around 1980 with the Day of the Dead, I think.
I don't know. Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, we were... Day of the Dick Deltone Dead. You know, that's why we're saying...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Where were you at?
Now I got stuck in traffic.
You're late and everything.
I got stuck in traffic, man.
Now, I know. Is it up there on Victoria?
Yeah.
Oh, that thing on Victoria. What's going on up there?
I don't know. They're changing something. They're changing lanes or some... I don't know what they're doing. But everything is funneled down to one lane there, and everybody is jockeying for position when they're coming down here toward the beach. Anyway, welcome to the program, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. We got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills going to be joining us in just a moment because, as we speak, this is our live streaming show. You are listening to us now. You may be listening to us live, or you may be listening to us on Monday, in which case you should know that this show was recorded on Sunday night, and we were doing it live for the BSPs. So they're watching, and one of the things we're watching is the Cleveland and Chicago game.
Now, what? This is what I was warning you against, okay?
Yeah, he sounded like you were going to stutter it.
It did sound like there was a bit of a stutter on its way to a stutter stroke, you know?
Here we go again with this iTunes... stopping working.
Yeah, it's a piece of turd.
Well, I suggest somebody fixes that. Maybe we ought to just download it again or something.
So anyway, you were saying what about who and the...
Oh, yes, the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Bears or something. They're playing right now, and so we're going to be watching this
Phil Hendry Show traffic.
With great interest, not...
Let me go... Let me go over to traffic now and look at this phone. Hey, Bob, you there?
And I'm the 15 freeway right now, Phil. I didn't have time to grab it, but I'll tell you this. If you are out of the arm and your armor all is up the drain, you got your underwear on, make sure you get up that 15 freeway today because everything out there is going to be lacquered, and we're lacquering it up for Little Glass Red. Let's go down to the sky. Boy, the climb.
Hey, Mom, I found something with me in the... I'm not. I was going to go over there and see what I was going to do, but I'll see over there in the conference stand. And
that'll be great.
Stop by on the southbound, southbound 5-3. We need 805 rolling down to downtown Sandy Townhouse. And about southbound from the ground around. Let's go over here to the sky, baby. Boy, sweet Tim. Stop by on the southbound. What the fuck do I say?
Ground round. Sky, baby. Sweet man. There goes the second gas tank. That hurt. I
said farewell. Jesus.
Oh, my God. That's jarring to the nerves, Phil.
Amity Affliction bringing us into this segment of the program, the world-famous Phil Henry. What do you mean?
Hey, jarring.
That's very jarring to the nerves. It reminds me of the first time I saw that. What was it, General?
Yeah, when I went and saw The Exorcist.
That's right. That jarred my nerves. And it does the same thing.
Sorry about that. Anyway, thank you very, very much, Amity Affliction. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And it's time now to head on out to our favorite guy's place, Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yeah!
Very jarring.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
All right, we got Ted there?
Hey, Ted. All right, here, Ted Bell, Ted to Beverly Hills, reminding you to come on down tonight because we got the ball game on. Well, it's Sunday night. If you listen to this on a tape, I guess you're out of luck. Ted Bell here, and I got the Dunphy Brothers. Look out.
Well, the Dunphy Brothers, huh?
Yep. Let's move on into, we're going to go to the main dining area here. We here, I tell you what, tonight at Ted to Beverly Hills, Phil, is a pretty special night because we have the ball game on. That is the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. We got the Dunphy Brothers in here, and I think I finally got them where I want them. And they're playing the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians.
I take it you're a Cub fan.
No, I'm not a Cub fan. I'm a Cleveland Indian fan, and that's okay because I know they're down 3-1, but the Indians are, guess what, up. The ball game right now is 3-1 Chicago, okay?
Yeah, but the Indians are leading the series.
Exactly right. The Indians are leading the series, and the Dunphys are in here, and we're in here for the last couple of nights talking about the Chicago Cubs like their stuff doesn't smell. And so I said to them, well, I tell you what, I'd love to go a couple of dollars with you.
Now, you know what happens when you bet the Dunphys.
I know all about it. But and by the way, Bill, I really resent the idea that you make it sound like I've got a, you know, that these guys are crooked or something.
Ted, you do make it sound like they're crooked. You talk about the Dunphy brothers are slapping you around.
They slap me around if I don't pay my bets. You're going to expect that, right?
Yeah, but why would you let a man do that to you?
I don't let them do it to me unless I welch on my bet, which is every other bet. Okay, and
why would you do that?
Because I don't think I owe it to them, because there's usually some dispute.
Yeah, did he come in and slap you around?
I wouldn't let a guy slap me around for lover money. Boy, you gotta be kidding me.
Don't worry. You guys have got the wrong idea. You think it's all mobbed up. You watch too many comic books and you read too many movies.
Watch too many comic books?
I mean, they watch too many comic. They read too many movies.
They read too many comic books.
Read too many comic books, watch too many movies. I'm fine. I got Ted. By the way, Tommy Dunphy just came in. Hey, I want to give this over to Rudy for a second, Phil.
Okay.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
Good. We got the good business tonight. Got the ball game on in the prime rib room right now. We're in the main dining area, but we'll move it into prime rib here in just a couple of minutes.
So tell me about what did Ted do here?
No, it's okay. He's he bet. Mrs. Hold on for a minute. Mrs. Jones is leaving. Good night, Mrs. Jones. Good night. She loves it.
I don't understand how any woman would.
Ms. Gray, I told you, free of charge, you come in any night, you have yourself some dinner with Frank, and as you're leaving, I will give you the Rudy, and I guarantee, you know, you'll freak.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
So anyway, what's the deal here with the Dunphy brothers?
The Dunphys are here. Ted has got the Cleveland Indians in his bed. That's why he says, I've got them where I want them. Not tonight. And this is game number 5, right, Phil?
5th game, yeah.
All right, tonight, Chicago is leading the Cleveland Indians 3-1. And I said to him, that's not exactly the best situation for you. He said, don't worry about it. I feel good about this. I think I probably got this. He was upset because there was a home run that was hit. I forget who hit it, but a home run hit by one of the ball players. And he stood there, and in my, here he comes now.
Hey, look, I'm going to talk about that. Thanks, look. Hey, Phil, you see the home run hit by that one fat kid you were talking about?
Well, he's not exactly fat.
Well, he's a fat-ass kid.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about that. I don't like it. And I don't think I've ever liked the fact that a guy can stand there and admire his the ball flying off the bat and standing there like, hey, yeah, aren't I shy? Is that normal?
A lot of guys do that. A lot of guys do that. It's not in the best of taste, but it is done.
It's done.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to admire it.
Well, guess what? It wasn't a home run, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about the double off the wall.
Yeah, I think you said, I was listening to the show at that point, and you said something like that. If the guy hadn't been standing there, you know, admiring it.
Well, that Phil was saying, if he hadn't stood there looking at it, he might have gotten another base out of it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that one if they were my team. But I got to tell you something. For my money, a guy standing there, and, this is so great. There should be a rule against that, don't you think?
Well, what rule are they going to, what kind of a rule?
Well, they have penalties in football for, what do you call it,
Yeah, they do. They had penalty in football for demonstrations.
Yeah, right there. Demonstrate what the kid said right there. Demonstrations.
Well, that's called in sportsmanlike conduct when excessive celebration.
Right. And what does that do? Okay.
Well, the reason for that.
Well, hold on, General. You know what? I'll tell you what it does. When you dance up and down and you look like an ass, and you're going, hey, look at me, you are depressing and you are demoralizing the other team to the point where they become, despondent. And,
what are you afraid, they're going to blow their brains out or something?
No, not that. But they do, there is a despondency, and it pisses everybody, pisses me off, you know.
Well, you're talking mostly, Ted, about the bettors and the fans.
No, I'm talking about the players. So if the guy stands there, after he hits the ball, and then he starts admiring it like, wow, I just took a whiff of something I just put in the toilet. Guess what? It ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying, right, Phil?
That's really a nice thought coming from a guy that owns a restaurant.
Good God Almighty, if I was tearing into one of your steaks, I'd throw it right back up.
All right, I'm sorry, but you know what? That's what the guy looked like. That's exactly what he looked like.
When you talk about the guy, when he hits it, they're going to look at the ball to see if it goes out.
If he had, first of all, looking at the ball. Are you guys listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, here, Rudy, I got to see some guys. Phil, I'll be right back.
He's got to go ahead and start into the Denny Dunphy's.
What is going on tonight again?
All right, I'll do it, Rudy. He's got the Dunphy's there. They're having a party because he thinks Cleveland's going to clinch.
He thinks the Cleveland Indians are going to clinch tonight. And right now, Chicago is leading 5-1 to stop at the 5th inning. But more to the point, the Dunphy's are here. And Terry Dunphy is going to want to sing, I think. So sooner or later, Terry's going to want to go up and sing. And then that's going to make Ted really, really bummed out, you know. And then he's got the possibility, just the possibility, Chicago's going to win this game. And
yeah, if Chicago wins the game, then they got then Extensi loses his bet, right?
Right, and that's what I thought. Here it comes. What are you talking about? I was telling them if Chicago loses this game.
Oh, well, don't you? That's none of your business. No, Chicago's not going to lose the game, Phil. I guarantee you. I don't want Chicago. I want Cleveland to win.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But I said Chicago's not going to lose this game.
Yeah, well, all right, so Chicago's not going to... All right, so what are you saying?
You're not going to win the bet tonight.
Oh, shit. Yeah. God, man. I was setting up the bandstand because I got... What's-his-ass wants to sing. God damn it. I got to tell you something, Phil. I love the Dunphys, but these cheap hoods and their kid brothers, and Timmy Dunphy is the kid brother. He's an up-and-coming hood. He wants to sing.
Not that guy that sang the last time.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Who's this guy?
Timmy Dunphy. Hold on. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Bell here, and welcome this evening to tonight's performance. Timmy Dunphy's going to come up. A lot of the boys are here. The Perella Street guys are here from Cleveland, and I got Cleveland in the series. Okay, so let's hear it for me. Thank you. And so, without further ado, let's bring on Timmy, and he's going to sing a song for us. One, two, and one, two, three, yeah.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh. Oh, what a gal. There's none so classy like that fair lassie. Oh, oh, goodness me, what a chassis. We went riding, but she knew it wrong.
Yeah, I'm here.
Home from Yonkers, I'm the one who had to walk. If you knew Susie, like
oh,
I
Jesus
know
Christ.
Susie.
Hey, hey.
Oh, oh, what a gal.
It's Terry Dunphy. Be back out, Terry. Nice going. Yeah, I got it. All right, Phil.
You got a little confused there, man.
What?
You got confused.
How did I get confused?
You said that you were betting on who?
I'm betting on Cleveland. I know they're losing. I'm hoping and praying that they won't continue to lose. But you know what?
You didn't bet them for this year. You bet this game.
That's the only problem I got, yeah. Yeah. What? Can I have the phone?
What I want to say, Phil, is that, you know, in the meantime, he is getting Timmy Dunphy, letting all these clowns get up to sing and act like the clowns they are, because he feels that he's going to, you know, make them feel better when he takes their money. I got news for you. You're not going to take some money tonight.
Oh, I'm not going to take any money tonight? Says who?
Says me. I said, I'll look at the score.
Anyway, what do you think about that, Phil? These guys that are staring and looking at it.
Look, can I weigh in on this?
Go ahead.
You're not going to be able to do anything about that, Ted. It's just the tradition in baseball is different from the tradition in football. Where are you, anyway?
I'm in the kitchen right now. Yeah, give me some of that pudding, huh? And Chef Chedilia, hey, Chef, I got Phil Hendry.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing, Chef Fonsula?
I'm good. How's business is good, huh?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of people in here tonight.
So anyway, you know, as I was saying, excessive celebration in any sport, I think, should be penalized. And when I looked at that guy stand there like, oh, yeah, look at this. And he stands, and he stands. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I was thinking to myself, I hope you burn in hell. I hope you die today and burn in hell for what you're doing to me. Well,
I don't know.
Were you just on the phone with me?
I did. I was at the restaurant, just got out. Is Frank there?
He is. Frank, your wife. What's he want? Yeah, honey.
Oh, Frank, I was just in the phone, and I was at the restaurant, and I came back through the phone here. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I just heard Timmy die. Did you hear her?
Yeah, he sounded ridiculous.
Boy, Timmy Dunphy, what a punk, a two-bit punk. Her and her brothers.
Okay, thanks, Frank. So,
what's your problem?
Nothing. Give the phone back to Ted, will you?
Here. So, you know, point being, I don't need to sit here with money riding on the Cleveland Indians and some guy sticking it up the giggy with the wah-wah brush.
Here goes another one, man. No, he's under it.
Oh, God! Do you see that?
Yeah, I'm watching all of them. All right, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us tonight, and he has the Dunphys in singing, you know, songs and everything. That Dunphy brother, man, that guy is...
You knew Susie.
Oh, he's doing it again. Hold on.
I know,
yeah.
Susie.
Hey,
oh.
Hey, hey.
Oh.
Who let him go up there?
There's none so classy like that fair lassie. Oh, oh, goodness me, what a chassis. We went riding, but she didn't balk. Home from Yonkers, I'm the one who had to walk. If you knew Susie like I know Susie. Oh, oh, what a guy.
That's just great. Timmy Dunphy there with, if you knew Susie like I knew Susie, then we'd both have to clap.
That was absolutely uncalled for.
I'm sorry.
This is Chef Chedilia. Phil, Ted has gone to the John, and we're still holding forces. So you want to talk to Rudy Canosa, get him over here.
Get Rudy there.
Phil, yeah, he went into the bathroom right now. I'm not sure if he's... you all right, Ted?
Oh,
I think it's the whole idea that he's going to lose his bet tonight. That's why it doesn't matter how many times he lets Timmy Dunphy get up to sing that stupid song. They're going to make him pay.
Well, now, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It means he's going to have to come up with the cash.
Quit, tell him to quit fooling around with that and pay off.
I tell him, but what does he know? You know, he's always, no, I'll be able to beat it. No, you know, I can owe them. No, I'll carry it. No, they're not going to carry him no more. I know that. I know the Dunphys. I know them like the back of my hand.
How long you known them?
Oh, about 15 minutes.
Give me the phone, will you? Phil, it's all right, under control. He doesn't speak for me. He is, you know, Rudy's a great guy. But let me remind you of something, and I think a lot of you people forget this. Okay?
You people?
I think a lot of you, yes, you people. I think a lot of you people forget this. And the reason why I say you people, Margaret, is because sometimes and I mean this with great respect, but sometimes I'm not sure you're of the white race. And
what does that mean?
I'm joking around, okay? Give me the phone. Don't tell me. Give me the phone. He is kidding around. See, he says that stuff so the Dunphy brothers won't beat him up and kick his ass and make him look like the child that he is, you know, look like the punk and the child that he is. But he will learn. Someday he will learn. I, Rudy Canoza, I know that these things can happen, and these things can be, and these things can be. Wait, is that over? And
is that over?
I mean, am I over?
Yeah, you're over.
You've been over for a long time. Hold on. I got it. Come on down here to Ted's Beverly Hills. Let's watch the Cleveland Indians come from behind and win this game and get this series over with so I collect from the Dunphys for the first time in my life. Let's go.
Here yeah.
Keep it here.
We wanna
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. If you
God damn it.
Susie,
come on, will you?
No, you gotta keep
Susie.
It here.
Oh,
you got a drink? He's right. You want a Tedlet? Give him the free Tedlet.
Fair lassie. Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness me. What a chassis. We went riding.
What's that?
I don't know. It's like an atomic bomb or something.
Get him back on the phone.
Ted. Phil wants to know what...
Yeah, what do you want?
What was that?
Just a sound effect. He's okay. Nothing. Everything's okay. Here, watch. If you knew Susie like I...
Thank you.
Well, Phil, don't be a bum.
Ted Bell and the guys from Ted's of Beverly Hills here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back with more of this fantastic folderol in just a minute.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray.
This is General Galen Shaw. Bergentroyd slacks. I'll tell you right now, I never thought I'd wear red plastic slacks. But Bergentroyd slacks look so good. The red plastic melds perfectly with the body. It doesn't have that shiny see-through ass cheek thing. I said, no, I can't do that. But these Bergentroyd slacks look good with any kind of blazer, any kind of t-shirt, any kind of upper, you know, muscle wear, anything you want to wear. I wear them around the house. They're relaxing. They're not too tight. So you don't look like you're running around trying to show it to everybody like some creep.
Bergentroyd slacks. Downtown at the Multiby Mall. Tell them
General Galen Shaw sent you.
Bergentroyd slacks.
I'm General Galen Shaw. Don't forget to get my special Dakota ring, too. With every pair of Bergentroyd slacks, the special Galen Shaw Dakota ring for full-grown adult men. Is it embarrassing? Yes. But I keep 100% of all of the profit from the sale of the Dakota ring from General Galen Shaw. God, am I embarrassed.
Mickey Mouse!
Mickey Mouse!
Mickey Mouse!
Yeah!
Forever let us hold our banner high!
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, and welcome on back here with Robert Leonard and Margaret Gray and General Galen Shaw and Bud Dickman. And here we are on this Monday. We're just over at Ted's of Beverly Hills talking with Ted, and you know, there he is messing around with those Dunphys again.
Well, he's messing around with the Dunphys. The Dunphys are messing around with him. I'll tell you this much. He's going to wind up getting his ears boxed in and his legs broken. And I don't care how many times he lets Timmy Dunphy sing that song, If You Knew Susie.
Well, I don't approve of it, as you know, and I never have approved of it. I don't approve of mobsters.
Well, yeah, I would not think that you would. Anyway, enough about that, you know.
Yeah, I don't talk too much about the Dunphy brothers, man, as long as they're in town.
Exactly. So, wild weekend, a wild, wild weekend for me as I sat here. Doing a number of... What was I doing this weekend that was so goofy?
Probably trying to get the resume done, everything like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get a resume done, and I'm trying to get just stuff done, right?
Now, what do you need the resume for?
It's a resume for stuff that I... Just stuff that I've done, like radio and television and stuff like that. But the problem is, I don't have the... And here we go again, bud.
Yeah, iTunes has stopped working. Close program or check online for a solution to the...
Get out of here. Don't read it. So anyway, as I was doing this, I was trying to format things, and I couldn't get anything formatted right, and so I had to finally call a friend of mine and get this thing.
Well, Phil, you know, either you know how to use word processing and you know how to correctly format these things so that you can get the work done, or you do not. So you're rather disorganized. Phil gets disorganized. Wouldn't you say that, Phil?
No, I don't think I'm disorganized.
Well, I thought it would be fun to have on Dr. Jim Sadler, as you know, as Dr. Sadler is a man of organization. He's a doctor, so he has a doctor's office.
Oh, yeah, he has a doctor's office, but I wouldn't say he's the most organized guy.
Yeah, he'll start laughing at him before he even gets on the phone.
I'm not trying to laugh at the man, understand that. But I am saying that, well, you know, we've talked to Dr. Sadler, where he's had every kind of weird thing. What was that guy that came crashing into his office?
Oh, his nurse was kidding him and said some man had crashed. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I remember that. What was that?
Yeah, you better find out about it.
Find out about him?
Find out about it from him.
Well, no. I mean, the reason why I have him on... No, I'm not going to do that. The reason why I have him on the phone is to talk to Phil about organization in the office. All right, Phil?
Fine, but I thought it would be an interesting story.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about organization in the office. Dr. Jim Sadler... from San Diego, California, and very, very happy to have you with us, Doctor. I know that, of course, you're very busy, so that you would devote all of this time to us, we appreciate that.
My pleasure.
We're talking about Phil and him spending the good part of this weekend figuring out how to format a resume. You have long been in business in your own practice. I don't imagine you have to format resumes anymore, but at one time you did, didn't you?
Well, I mean, not really. Yes, when I got out of medical school and I began to look around, what did I want to do? And so I decided that I would go into private practice, but I also wanted to get, of course, and you have to get, your internal, rather your emergency room, your hands-on hospital experience. A lot of us paid our dues at the Fedman, which is the emergency hospital here in the Northern County. Every kind of gunshot wound, head wound, arrows. You've never seen anything like it. And that was...
But what do you mean, arrows? Where is this?
Up in the North County. One of the most gruesome emergency hospitals you've ever been in. And seriously, I would come to work there every night, and I worked the emergency room. And, you know, guys would come in with an arrow through his head. Another guy came in with a leg blown off, and he's still trying to fight the other guy. That's unbelievable stuff.
What is this, all gang stuff?
God, man, that's a pretty violent area.
A very, very violent area. It was up here in the, right near Escondido.
Escondido? Man, that's like in north, that's up in the suburbia.
Well, say whatever you want, man, but, you know, it was pretty badass. Tell you that right now. So,
but the Marine Corps base is around there, isn't it?
Might have been that. I don't know. Or maybe it wasn't in North County. Maybe I was somewhere else. I seem to remember driving north.
Maybe you went all the way to L.A.
Who was that?
It's Bud.
What did you say?
Maybe you went all the way to L.A.
All right. Maybe I went to L.A. I know I drove north every night.
You drove from San Diego to L.A. every night to work in an emergency room.
I may have. I don't know. That was so hard for me, Phil, and those were such difficult days. I barely was out of medical school. I barely was.
We know that you supported yourself through medical school, Dr. Sadler. We're very proud of you.
I'm just trying to say.
All right, I didn't mean to upset you, Doc. But what I really want to talk to you about tonight, though, is you are an organized guy. You do run an office. All I was trying to do was put a resume together. I didn't know that Margaret was going to call you, but I'm very happy to have you on the phone. And now, of course, everything is word processing. Everything is...
Well, is that all you have to do a resume?
Well, I got to have a picture and all that stuff for these people that I hope will work for me or work with me in the more of the theatrical end of things.
Oh, theatrical, huh? You're going to do like...
Now, what are you going to do, Phil? Like, be on stage if you knew Susie?
Yeah, you're going to do that, Mr. Henry?
What about that, Mr. Henry? Are you going to do If You Knew Susie?
No, I'm not going to do If You Knew Susie. I'm talking about more acting.
This is more of the comedy thing that Phil does, Dr. Sadler.
Oh, yeah. All right, yes. Well, here's what you should do. First of all, you want to list all of your accomplishments in the different areas, okay?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, in radio, in television, in film. How many films have you been in, okay?
Yeah, you've been in.
Hold on, I was Team America. This is 40.
Never saw that.
All right, a thing called Last Call.
Never saw that.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Fine, that's fine. Semi-pro.
I did see that. How long were you in that? Like.
I was a small part as the Nets coach. And I think that's about it in terms of.
So four movies.
Probably about four movies, yeah.
Not probably about. Is it four movies or not? It's okay. If it's only four, it's only four. I mean, if you don't really have all that much time.
Yeah, it was four.
Okay. Now, how many... then the other thing you want to do, cartoons. That, have you done cartoons?
Yeah, I've done animation.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, that's what they call cartoons now. They call it animation.
But it's basically a cartoon, right?
Yeah, pretty much that's what it is. Yeah, it's what it is.
All right, so how many cartoons do you do?
All right, I've done animation and...
cartoons. Call it a cartoon because people will be very, very appreciative of the fact that you don't have your nose up your own rectum. Excuse me for saying that, but I can because I'm a doctor. All right? That you don't have your own nose up your own rectum. Again, I'm able to say that. I'm a doctor.
That's great.
All right. So how many cartoons have you done?
I don't know, like six or seven.
So you've been to Khartoum that many times, huh?
What do you mean? Oh, Khartoum.
Yeah, Khartoum in Africa.
Well, get him out of here.
Phil, I don't care. I was getting him back on the phone.
Man, he's gonna be pissed.
Get him back on the phone, please. Dr. Sadley, he's... Yes.
On the R-A-G. I like, I can't spell that.
He knows how to spell that. Yeah.
Give me the phone, please.
Don't grab it from me, Phil. I'll delicately give it to you. Dr. Sadler, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry, Dr. Sadler. Wait a minute. Phil?
Yes, hello, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah. Did you hang up on me?
Yes, I hung up on you.
Why?
Khartoum. I'm trying to get to the point here, okay? And the point is, have you got any tips for a guy who is trying to make his way professionally to present himself with the right kind of resume and that kind of thing?
All right, Phil. I do. I got in one little cutie about Khartoum. And you're on a rag or something, you know, the R-A-G, which I understand now you know how to spell, so...
Yeah, I do, and all of your jokes are probably really good for another time in another place, but I'm trying to just get this stuff together here.
All right, so what is he supposed to do anyway, Sadler?
Well, and I don't like being called by my last name, if you don't mind.
Dr. Sadler, what has he got to do?
Well, what he has to do is you get someone that you know that knows how to type... and tell them you want a resume. Then you go online and you find a typical resume for your profession. I don't know what it looks like. I know what a resume looks like in my profession, in the medical profession.
Like, what would you have on yours?
On my resume?
Yeah.
All right. I have my resume right here. It has my name, my address, my phone number, experience. I was a doctor at Blokovol Hospital for 2 years. Then I was another doctor... At Belbin Emergency for 2 years. Then I was another doctor at Rappahoe. Then I was a doctor in an office.
Wait. Is that what your resume says?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says. See, what you're doing, what is, you got a problem with that?
Well, that doesn't sound professional.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm telling you what you just asked me. What is on my resume?
Then I was a doctor.
Yeah, that's right. I was a doctor at 3 hospitals, and then I was in private practice.
What does it say exactly, though?
It says on my resume, I was in private practice until I got angry at a lady one time because her kid was bothering me, and then I quit. Then I was in practice.
Put that on there. People are going to think you're weird.
Why would someone think I'm weird? I'm being honest about it.
You put down, I was in practice in an office till a lady, I got angry at the lady.
Yeah, I got angry at her because her kid was weird.
And you put that on the resume.
Wait. How many times do you people...
All right, so we believe it. That sounds ridiculous. It sounds more unprofessional than anything Phil could do.
If it sounds so unprofessional, how is it that I found my way to this point in my life where I own my own practice in the San Diego area, and I'll say it, excuse me, Ms. Gray, I got a piece of ass for a nurse. Gee, man.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, Margaret, I said excuse me.
Well, saying excuse me does not excuse it. That was a vulgar thing to say.
I've worked my ass off, excuse my language, to get to where I am today. And for the first time, I have my own practice. I have a great clientele. I got great patients. I have a beautiful office. I'm an accomplished doctor. And I got a piece of ass for a reception.
All right, Santa, look, you're losing it like a lot of people. This is generally what happens on the Phil Hendry Show. Somebody loses it, okay?
Someone loses it? Yeah, I'm losing it because you guys are questioning my professional credibility. Forget it.
I'm not questioning that you've done things. I'm not questioning you're a doctor. I'm questioning that resume.
Then don't call me up and break my bowels.
Don't hang up.
I'm not.
Thank you very much.
Oh, so now he's going to hang.
Well, it's Monday.
Yeah. It's Monday. It's Monday, and well, it's Monday, and it ain't gonna be Tuesday until it gets to be Tuesday, man. So,
well, do you know any better now how you want your resume to look?
Yeah, I know better now. I will just go back online, just as he said, and I'll find a professional resume in the theatrical field, and I will go ahead and I will.
Yeah, use that one.
I'll copy that one. You know,
that's what you should have done in the first place.
I think Dr. Sadler, again, is a very accomplished man, a good man. Deep down, he's a good man. But even deeper down, he is a lowlife and a reprobate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
So in other words, deep down, he's a good man.
Deep down, he's a good man, but then go deeper?
Yes, go deeper, and he's a lowlife and possibly a mass murderer.
And what if you go deeper than that?
Go deeper than that, and then he's a good man again. What's your problem?
My problem is all of you people sitting around me. That's my problem.
There you go again with that, you people.
World famous Phil Henry. Can I do it?
Go ahead.
World famous Phil Henry show from El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved.
On podcast one.
On podcast one.